Welcome to the Millennial Agenda, the podcast that's here to prove we're not out to ruin the world, we're just trying to survive it. I'm your host, Josh Gunderson, and joining me on this roller coaster of adulting are two incredible co-hosts, the brains and sass behind the operation, Nina Sabatini and Meg Stone. Join us as we tackle the everyday challenges of the world with a dose of humor and a splash of wine. So whether you're a millennial navigating the trenches or just trying to understand our avocado toast-loving ways, buckle up, you're in for a ride. Even when I was like on the road, like working in elementary schools, I could not fake a love for young children.
See, I like that age group. Like, it was a while ago, and I was coming from like teaching dance of like preschool, like at, for like preschool dance and like preschool choirs and stuff like that. So I was like in the mode. I was like, I got this. I will be engaging and dance to small children.
Nope. Every time I had got hired at an elementary school, having to be like, hey guys, you're definitely super loud while I'm trying to talk and I'm okay with it. Who's having fun?
P.S. I'm lying.
It was exhausting. At least with the high school kids and the middle kids, like school kids, like a lot of people that I met that did like similar things were constantly like, oh, I hate doing the middle schools. I hate doing the high schools. It's so miserable. And I'm like, I love it because I will walk out on that stage and be like, it is early and we're all going to muscle through this together. Yeah, middle schoolers and high schoolers, I always enjoyed better because I felt like I related to them better. And even when I was being super cringy, they at least enjoyed it because like I was an adult that was like, yeah, we're going to talk about this stuff and we're all going to deal with it together. And
I feel like your topic was so relatable and also pertinent to where they were. Like, there's people who come mm-hmm. and try to do, and I'm not saying this was your shtick, but there's people who like come and do talks and do like scare talks because they don't want kids to do a certain behavior or do a certain action in the way future, versus like your stuff was like, hey, the phone in your hand and the tweet you just sent and the post you just posted on Facebook, like you could have a stalker right now and you have absolutely no idea. Like that was so relevant and immediately a threat that there was no being like, well, I don't have to worry about this until I'm in college and I'm at a college party and somebody offers me a beverage and blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know. That's my hot take on it. But
there was also like, I realized not too long ago that I was doing then what a lot of comedians are doing now. Like I look at like Hannah Gadsby, who I think she has three Netflix specials now. And Nanette, if you haven't seen it, was a masterpiece in comedy and in integrating very serious topics. She started off like traditional comedy show, and then all of a sudden it was boom.
You're crying.
Yeah, pretty much. So I worked very hard to get that whole thing to where it was. And I actually have something about the other day. I was like, do I miss it? And I kind of do, but like, I the idea of going into a school now and trying to talk about anything feels so dangerous because I'm like, half the stuff that I talked about, I probably wouldn't be allowed to talk about anymore just because of the way that we're just censoring everything in schools. With all the shit happening in schools right now, in general right now, I'm like, it's that double-edged sword of like, would I be helpful doing what I do and all of that? Yes, but am I going to feel good about it because of the situations and the people that I'd be dealing with? Because I dealt with some pretty shitty people when I was on the road. I remember, God, where the fuck was I? I was at some school. I think it was in maybe Texas. I remember I was hired. Texas. I don't think it was Texas because I think it shocked me that this happened. Regardless, I was at a school. I was hired by the tech coordinator at the school. And I got there, like checked in. He's like super nice. And he's like, oh, I'm going to take you to meet the principal. And because normally it's like a member of the administration that brings me in. It's either a member of the admin, principal, assistant principal, or usually like the school counselors are the ones that would bring me in. But every once in a while, it'd be just an IT person or the tech coordinator or whatever. And brings me down to the principal, and we're sitting there chatting, and she's behind her desk. And I always got very weird meeting any teachers because I would just revert back to high school and be like, you are the big scary adult and I am baby. It was so weird. It was being like their equals. And I remember the principal like asking me like, oh, what are you going to be talking about? And I was like, this is a weird thing to ask me 30 minutes before
a little late.
Go on stage. So sure. And I kind of walked through everything, and she just looks at me and goes, okay, that's not too bad, but I want to make sure you're not talking about any of those queers committing suicide, because we don't need our kids hearing about the queers. And I was like, what I heard was, I'm going to fucking talk about it, you bitch. And I did. I was like, I have the you handed me the check already. I've been paid. I don't care if I never come back here. But it, and like, oh, the situations I would find myself in similar to that, I knew.
You had that one parent meeting that was, I remember, was really rough.
Oh, there was
you called me. One of the later ones.
God, there was one I was actually randomly thinking about it the other day. There was one I did, I think it was late 2016. And I, like, 2016 was a raging shit show. And I probably should have just canceled the gig and not gone, but I did. And I remember that night going so horribly that they sent me a nastygram email the next day being like, we all left and didn't want to talk to you because we were embarrassed that we paid for that. And I was like, that's mature, but okay. And like, I've had bad, like just bad parent nights where parents didn't even want to take responsibility for, you know, raising their own children, which always drove me insane. Like, oh, it's definitely not my kid. My kid's an angel. I'm a bitch, but my kid's perfect. It's the thought of going back into schools and doing that. And at the same time, like, I've, according to some adults, over the last few years, I have clouded my reputation because of my actions online. Did I ever tell you about that email? I did not. Oh my God. I think it was early 2021, maybe mid. I got an email from this woman that, like, just clearly ran out of nasty Yelp reviews to write. And
she's waiting for new restaurants to open.
And went to my website. I don't know if it was I don't remember if it was a parent or a teacher. I think it might have just been a parent that was like, oh, I was looking into hiring you for my school, but after discovering some of the content that you put online and da 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 da. And she went off. So apparently, I mean, first off, thank you for the royalties, because she bought my book.
To burn?
Apparently to read.
Wait, the parenting, or you're doing it wrong?
You're doing it wrong. So went off about that, and like, it would be inappropriate to have you talk to children because you're writing about doing drugs and drinking and having sex. And I'm like, I'm at that point, like, I'm over 30. What do you think I do all day? I am not a monk. I am not celibate. I am not praising Jesus all day. I'm drinking his blood. I'm doing a lot of that. You're welcome. But like, and then apparently listened to, I don't know what episode, but some episode of the podcast, and like, and the swearing and the, I'm like,
if that is the worst thing that her children, like, if swearing is the worst thing that her children pick up, then, like,
wait, what grade, what age range was this for?
I don't even know. This was just an email to tell me about why I wasn't getting hired for a job that I was never offered to come to her city and speak to her children. And I did not respond. So I'm like, I don't know how to.
It was a birthday party gig. You were going to get hired for a birthday
party. Hey, kids, instead of a clown, let's talk about cyberbullying.
No, I can tell exactly what kind of parent that is. That is a parent who lies and shelters their kid from reality because they feel like the kid is going to throw it in their face and do it anyways. And
well, that's what I got a lot of that. Like, I would have schools be like, oh, can you not talk about sexting? Because we don't want to give our kids ideas. And I'm like, the idea, it's already there. It's
the idea already exists.
This is not the first time they've heard of this, friends.
Yeah, it's like, just like not talking about it is not the answer. And I would say that to parents when I did parent nights. Like, parents either loved me or they absolutely fucking hated me. Because I would get up there and say, I just need you to know that I do not have children. I have cats. It's roughly the same, in my opinion. Fight me about that later. That's how I opened parent nights. Because I'd always have, like, I'd have the couple parents be like, it's not the same. And then I'd be like, have you ever woken up at 3 a.m. to clean up vomit off of the floor? So have I. I would say to them, like, you need to talk about these things. Like, I always encourage, and I think in your digital life, I encourage, actually, your digital life, I wrote that during the pandemic, to be a way to talk, like, parents, buy this and read it first, then give it to your kids to read, then fucking talk about it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you don't teach kids anything, like, any subject, and say, well, you know what? I don't want to talk about it, so let's not teach it to them because I don't want to have to deal with it. That's really what you're saying. Don't bring up a topic because if they don't get it and they have questions, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm sorry, but this is the world that we live in, and we're not, like, I could see, like, I don't even know how it would work, but like these, like, certain things that I talked about wouldn't work back in, you know, 1992, because, like, even before that, we were so sheltered from each other. We didn't have access to the entire world. So it's like, if I'm not going to talk about it, they're just going to Google it. That's how this works.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, it's a similar idea. Like, that kind of mentality is a similar idea to, like, some of the stuff that I know that we've all run into at the aquarium and zoo world, where, like, they don't want to talk about, like, an animal dying. They don't want to, like, say it. Yeah, they're gonna notice if there's an animal missing in an enclosure, especially if it's like, if it's megafauna that people come to, like, they're there. Most recently, you know, we have an animal that, like, or like, if there's a very visible injury to the animal, like, let's not talk about it. Maybe no one will notice. So we'll, like, gloss it over. I'm like, no, address it. That's why the animal's there, and, like, move forward. But the idea is, like, you're arming the anti-zoo and aquarium people by saying, well, they have an injured animal. I'm like, why? No one in the field caused it. We're treating it and keeping it alive.
Well, that's, like, the thing. If you're proactive about something, you control the narrative. If they're going to have that question, they're going to get it from somebody, whether they Google it, whether they ask a friend, whether they ask another friend's parent. And, like, you get to decide. And, like, there still can be that filter. Like, you know, you go to the aquarium and the penguins are, like, on top of each other, and the kid would ask, like, what are they doing? And you'd kind of look at the parent to gauge, like, how far into the rabbit hole do you want me to go on this? And they'd be like, you can tell them, like, you can do this. And, like, that happened with the family, like, for the wolves that I used to work with. Like, one of the wolves was sitting there. He was a boy. It became very obvious that he was a boy. And their 3-year-old was like, what's that? And I looked up at his mom and was like, where do you want me to go with this? And she just very nonchalantly was like, that's his penis. Like, that was just, like, factual. Like, that is a body part, just like it's an arm, just like it's a face, like, whatever it was. Yeah. And was just like, yep, so that's what it is. And his reaction was like, oh, okay. And, like, walked away. Like, it was not made to be a big deal. Yeah. It was a factual thing.
No, we put a lot of emotional value on some of this stuff. I'm like, or shame value. And it's like, no, it's not. It just needs to be talked about. It needs to be talked about as facts. If we start putting, like, shame value on anything having to do with sex or drugs or rock and roll, like, then it becomes this, like, taboo thing. And you've got people who do not have best interests at heart, who are going to have more control over the narrative. Nina, I will say that all I could think about when you were saying that you were talking about like the penguins going to town was Ursula and her special buoy, because I had so many parents who would not, either I had one mom ask me and another one push her 5-year-old towards me to ask what she was doing. And I looked at the mom and I was like, that's her favorite toy. It's her special toy.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go into further what she's doing? I will. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Sometimes seals just get that special feeling. And when they do.
You see when a seal likes loves a buoy very, very much.
And their only other option is a 500-pound male who won't leave them alone.
He's kind of, yeah. It was so bad. She just had this poor mom had no clue what was going on. And I was like, do I need to have a conversation with you?
Yeah. How about you and I talk first? And then
then parents are stupid. I remember, oh my God, one of the funniest interactions I ever had with a parent. It was after a presentation. I completely forgot about this. This was so fucking funny. The guy comes up to me and he's like, well, you know, everything is just so sexual these days, and the access to porn, and even in the songs and the music, you know, there's that one song that the kids are obsessed with, you know, What Does the Fox Say? And I was like, and he's like, no, don't you get it? What does the fox say? And I'm like, of all, like, if you had brought
where
up
are we
like,
going
the
with
bad
this?
Touch, I'd be like, yeah, that is a song that is definitely about sex. I'm actually pretty sure it starts off like about sex. But what does the fox say? I'm like, and in my, I'm like, I'm trying to put the pieces together.
Tag,
he's giving me
right
nothing
there
to work with. He just keeps going, what does the fox say? And I'm like, bro.
Did you in your head just keep like, going?
You're like, this is not Britney, bitch. Like, what are you talking about? Like, if you seek Amy is not here.
Like,
it's
I
the
have
fox
that on my running playlist. So I've heard it a lot. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's just a really fucking stupid techno song. Like, I'm going to search
out
it.
That's what I'm
it's
looking
not
up to.
There's
I'm like,
so
did
many
we get old really fast and we missed it when we were like in our 20s?
What is the purpose of the song? What does the fox say? No, it's they had an offbeat idea in 2013. Make an intentionally terrible song, pair it with a high quality studio level music video, and release it as a joke they expected to fail, but help promote their Norwegian TV show.
So what I'm hearing is if you aim low, amazing things happen, because that is also how we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're like, what's the stupidest idea for a cartoon?
Is that also got how it we got Maya He, Maya Who?
Please don't get that stuck in my head. I will be very sad.
Probably. I mean, now, like what other, like, and then other people search for Peanut Butter Jelly Time, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Peanut Butter Jelly
Time! That was really, that was.
Okay, well, that is mean, and that actually does have other meanings.
That's it. I'm not diving into it. I don't have the energy.
It's about ugly women, and it's about them complaining, like, who let the ugly women in the bars, basically. So.
Oh, what assholes!
Yeah, pretty much.
So I will say oh God, there's a band that does a really good cover of it. I'm just gonna go sit in my corner of shame now.
I'm gonna just assume they meant emotionally ugly. They were mean people. They were
oh,
in their
Meg
hearts were ugly. That's
what does that fox me say? So
just because we don't talk about it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah. Hey. And so it was stuff like that. It was the moral of my story where it's like, oh, don't talk about this. Don't talk about this. Like I had one time a program got centered down so much. It was supposed to be an hour. And I'm like, you just cut so much. I got about 15 minutes worth of material here. I don't know what you want from me.
I want to know how you got the guy with the, what does the fox say to go away? Were you just like, sir,
oh,
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Did you just do
I'm
the
pretty sure I was just like,
the song?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Music today.
Those kids in those drugs.
I have no answer. It's something that when it happened, I thought about for a long time, and I don't know why. I'm just like, it just popped into my head during this conversation, but it was the fucking funniest thing in the world.
It deserves to get filed, but not be up front all the time. Yeah. That's why. Your brain did a good
job. Of all the things, like, there's, like, again, I've got great memories on the road, and then I've got horrific memories on the road, and the great ones are usually ridiculous like that. And, like, there's, of course, like, the super sweet ones, but, like, just the idea of, oh, we don't, and that's where I think I would struggle today, because I think we've sort of, we have taken several steps back as a country, but I think that, and I don't want to say this, the generation that's in middle school and high school isn't equipped emotionally to handle it, but, like,
they have so much on their fucking plates right now. Like, not to, like, they have so much on their fucking plates. Cause I'm thinking about, like, we're the generation that started out with some of the school shootings and school violence. And it's become, it feels like there's one a day at this point where you're like, what's happening? Can we stop now? Where it's like, they've got that. They've got gender politics, which are insane. The hate to trans and like, it's just all of this stuff that you're just like, you guys are not okay. And like, they need someone to talk about cyberbullying. But again, you're exactly right. Like you would have so much, you'd be so neutered.
Yeah, I'd rather be neutered. I don't think I could emotionally handle it. Like thinking about like the student in Oklahoma, Nex Benedict.
That one broke
the idea of like, cause I got up and I talked about personal stuff. I talked about emotional stuff. I talked about emotional personal stuff. I got through it. Some people were like, oh, that was a good act. I'm like, no, that's not an act. It's just really shitty to talk about this all the time. Like the hard part of my job is having to talk about this really difficult stuff. And the fact that even, you know, what happened, there was bullying going on. There was a violent attack that happened that nobody fucking did anything. And this is like the idea of going into a school knowing that certain stuff like this is going to get ignored and not taken care of. I can't do that because I can't look a student in the eye. I can't stand in front of a group of students and say, oh,
you're safe.
These people, they care about you. Your teachers care about you. Because that's what I did. That's what I said to them because I, in my heart of hearts at the time, thought that's what was true. And the idea that I can't get up and lie to them. Like, yes, I'm there because I care, because I loved what I did, and I did it because I liked making a difference. It was selfish. I liked how I felt when I got those messages thanking me for it, and those very kind things that people said, and the way it changed people's lives. But I can't get up there and say, oh, I'm here today because your teachers care about you, that your administrators care about you, that they want you to be okay, because clearly that is bullshit. And I can't say that's every teacher. I know some amazing teachers. But the problem is the bad apples will always outshine the good ones. The bad always, like, that's what's front and center right now. And so in my head, I'm like, I can't go into any school. Like, I'm actually fairly certain, I'd have to double check, but I think the last state I went and spoke at was Oklahoma. I think the last time I spoke at a school was fucking Oklahoma.
So I also just think it's like people, whether they're adults or not, are scared to get involved with stuff. And I don't know. It's just like when I was in high school, there were two roads that fed into the entrance of the school. And so parents who were coming to pick up students, which were a lot, like you would be in traffic on those roads, like pretty much at a standstill for like 15 to 20 minutes getting into the school. And in that meantime, students are leaving the school, the ones that are walking home. And so, like, my mom was coming to pick me up, and she stopped and got out of her car because there were other girls bashing another girl's head into the sidewalk, and none of the adults in the passing cars were doing a thing about it. And this was before we really had cell phones, so, like, it wasn't like, oh, they're calling 911 and not, like, getting involved. Like, no, there was nothing. And my mom got out of her car and was like, what the fuck are you doing? Leave her alone. And the girl tried to get snappy with her and was like, bitch, mind your business. And my mom was like, oh yeah, bitch. And like went to go over and was like, get walking. But they were literally, she had this girl, There was a bunch of girls around them, and one girl had the other girl and was slamming her head into the sidewalk. And my mom was just like, none of the other cars stopped. Like, even when my mom got out, none of the other parents were like, oh, one adult took the first step, let's all gang up and, like, make these kids knock it off. Like, nobody. It was ridiculous.
Even gang up, just like, let's present a unified front of how you should act to other humans.
None of it. None of it. And that was back in, like, 2000.
Yeah, no less.
I fell down a stupid rabbit hole, and it's so frustrating. Like, that was the other thing that was hard about what I did was, like, I just went into, there's a Wikipedia page for Next Benedict now, and that was a mistake to click on. Because I was bombarded with so much of this stuff that, like, and this is what drove me nuts about the job, is that I couldn't go a week without having to sit down and learn one of these stories. And I don't understand that as a society where we have a wealth of knowledge at our fingertips, in a world that you would think with so much connection to everywhere else, we would stop being fucking dickheads. I did not expect an emotional podcast recording tonight. I'm like, so bad right now.
Well, I feel like there needs to be another word that comes up, because I've heard multiple podcast people and celebrities comment on this through various social media things, but like, the information is flowing. We're not making connection.
No.
Like, that's not what's happening. And I think we're using the same word for two different things and pretending that, like, it's getting better. It's not.
Yeah. So I'm going to pivot to something that it takes this subject, but it ends up making me really happy. Has anyone ever watched the show We're Here, other than me, on HBO?
Not yet.
Please watch it. I cry every single episode. They haven't started the new season yet, in the best way possible. So it is three drag queens that go into small town America and put on drag shows. They find members of the queer community, members of the trans community, and allies who sign up to be part of the show, because they kind of tell you a little bit about their story and tell you a little bit about the town and like how that town reacts to members of the queer community, and why they want to be involved with it. Like, why they want to make a very public, visible stand for who they are, or who like supporting the people in their lives. Cause they have had allies on, and I can't even point out, like, there's just been so many amazing stories that they tell, and the drag performances are like extraordinary. Like, they're gorgeous. My favorite one, they actually did a two-parter in Orlando to close out the season last year, and they followed the story that like both broke my heart and like put it back together, like smushed it all back together, was this woman who's a teacher in Florida, and she was a mother to a trans daughter. Like, and this girl was just sunshine. Like, she still is sunshine. Like, just freaking herself and beautiful and brilliant. And the mother was really struggling, because she's like, I'm a teacher, I can't say this, I can't talk about it. Like, how do I exist in this world? And she ended up doing the drag show for her daughter, so that she could see, as her daughter could see, that she was proud of her and she loved her. And like, it was just like, it was amazing. And that little girl gave me so much hope that she was just, and that family gave me so much hope, because they were just, and the community that surrounded them gave me so much hope, because they were just so like, fuck this shit. This is like, this little girl is extraordinary, and I we won't, no, she doesn't have to be anything other than who she is. And if you have a problem with that, that's on you, not on her, not on anyone else.
And that's why I find myself once in a while very envious of kids these days in certain ways, not so much in other ways. Just the amount of just representation that exists in media now. Like, you know, you have shows like Heartstopper, movies like Love, Simon, and even like I'm not gonna say it flopped. It was a beautiful movie that did not get the release it deserved, which is Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, which is also a book. Book is phenomenal. The movie is phenomenal. I may or may not have dropped $50 today to order a poster autographed by the cast, as well as Lin-Manuel Miranda, who produced it.
Because
somebody needed some shopping serotonin today. And I absolutely love that. And that's part of the reason why, like, I've enjoyed writing characters like that. And I just wish that, because then what makes me sad is the kid who's, you know, trying to figure out how can I watch Heartstopper on my family's Netflix account without my parents finding out that I'm watching it. And I hate that where there's times it feels like we've come so far, but
we're still not there yet.
Giant step back where humans apparently they'd be human enough.
It's so wild to me too, because it's like, I guess it boggles my mind, because if you look historically, like, it's you know, in ancient history, this was like, yeah.
Oh my God. I was just reading the other day that in ancient Sparta, women would shave their heads on their wedding day to help transition their husbands from the gay sex to the lady sex.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good for you. And then even so, I'm researching my new book right now because gay cowboys. And
I'm so ready for this book. I'm fucking ready for it.
We've talked about this. Have we talked about this yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Gay cowboy vampires. And I fell down a rabbit hole of research, as one does, because ADD. Apparently, there was... Like, sorry, Brokeback Mountain. There was a lot of Brokeback Mountain going on in the Wild Wild West, because they're like, the men are off on, like, you know.
There's like two women.
One of them was the madam and the other one was the prostitute. And the guys were like, we're just going to diddle each other. Yeah. That's cool.
Plus, it was like, if there were less people, like, that was also a safe place for like interracial couples, anything else, because there's less authority. There's less, so like, it was a place where you could live more openly your truth.
So, because I always have to bring it back to Disney, have either of you seen the live action Pinocchio that came out a few years ago?
No, because I don't like Pinocchio.
Okay.
No.
So
did Disney do that, or did
Disney?
I thought that was Guillermo
del Toro. There was a Guillermo del Toro one, but Disney did one too. Tom Hanks is Geppetto.
How did I miss that?
It's awesome. It's on Disney Plus. So there's two things in there that I absolutely love. So one, there's a character that's a girl who wants to be a ballerina, and she has a wooden leg. And like, that's her thing, is that she wants to be a dancer, but she can't, quote unquote.
I'm going to leave that alone because it'll make me rage. It's fine.
It won't make you rage. You will love this. Okay. So at the end, like, she basically, she runs the ballerina puppet that dances with Pinocchio. And then the asshole guy who like originally ran that show, she like kicks him out and like takes over, and like, it's her show, and it's like, it's awesome and empowering. And she's just like, we got rid of the loser, who was mean and like enslaved us. And like, so that's one thing of like, your different abilities, you can be whatever you want message. And then the original story of Pinocchio is that at the end he turns into a real boy. They don't do that in this one. And I'm probably going to cry. Like, what Jiminy Cricket ends up saying as like the synopsis, I bawl every single time, because it's basically just one giant like trans affirmation of like, it doesn't matter whether you're a real whatever or not. It's how you feel inside. And I just like every single time I'm just like, bah! Like Disney just affirmed like every like
everything,
blah blah blah. And like Nick was looking at me like, are you good? And I was just like, nope, I forgot about this part. Like, like I just like lose it every time. But it is good. You should watch it.
I don't think I can handle crying that much right now.
No, I have to gauge, like, for We're Here, I have to, like, gauge when I can watch the episode where I'm hydrated enough to handle it.
Well, that's why this is, like, a movie where, like, you're not crying, and then it's, like, the last 30 seconds where you're just like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. And then you're like, this is great. Let's all just go off into the sunset.
Just on a different, like my one little tangent on different physical abilities and being able to dance. Like one of the best dance performances I ever watched was a woman in a wheelchair and her partner. And like, just the way it was kind of mind boggling how they actually like, they incorporated the movement of her wheelchair into the dance. And it was like,
awesome.
Gorgeous. So fuck anyone who tells you can't dance. We can't, if you don't have two good legs.
Do whatever the hell you want. Like, that's, I just know some people are constantly like, oh, I could never write a book. Yeah, you can. Just, like, I don't just sit
get
down
a pen.
And do it because I get to sit down and do it. I've got, yeah. So I think I'm frustrated about the world that we live in. And yeah. I think we need, I'm going to sit down and write it now. God damn it. We need a next Hunger Games. We need a next Katniss Everdeen to be like, oh, we need to fuck some shit up. Because I don't think we've had a good dystopian leader in a while.
Yeah, we need some badass dystopian.
I'm too busy with gay cowboys right now. I can't go dystopian.
I need you to finish the gay cowboys.
We wrapped up and I'm like, I have not seen Burger this entire time. And I just irrationally lost my mind because I could not find her and started looking in the most like just wildly unhinged places. I was like, did I lock her in the fridge by accident?